Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Our Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done in the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize how deeply indebted we are to you. We would not be here this evening were it not for Jesus, who was sent into this world as a baby and then as a man to die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins, to reconcile us to you, to bring peace and joy in our relationship with you. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his work on the cross. And we thank you that we can gather together this evening in the freedom that this country has allowed us to sing and to enjoy each other's company. We also pray, O God, that by your grace and mercy, that you would give to us a real sense of your presence among us. For you are here. You are in the midst of us. May you enable us to sense that. And as we spend some time reflecting on your birth and the joy of Christmas, may you enable us to lift our hearts in glorious praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Fantastic carol. The word nearly went out of my head. I nearly said hymn. Carol, hymn, song. We're going to sing that together. The First Noel.
Thank you.
time to get our parents dancing. Yes, all right, parents, let's do it. It's time to work the hips. Here we go, let's stand. Ready, go to get inside. That's it, parents. Make a tree, tall tree. Fantastic, now move to the side. Sway it like there's no tomorrow, that's it. Don't pop any hips, let's go.
Merry, Merry Christmas, come and find forgiveness. Jesus Christ, the King is born.
I'm singing, Merry, Merry Christmas, come and find forgiveness.
Jesus Christ, the King is born. More than Christmas trees, more than family, more than presents, we need Jesus. More than decorations, more than celebrations, hope for all the nations, we need Jesus.
All right, Christmas tree, let's go.
Chapter 1 from verse 46. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Love. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
We're going to stand together and sing two more carols together. Let's sing. Continue standing into Once in Royal David City.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
To
Let's stand together and sing, and we'll hear out for these ladies' harmonies while we sing our carols. Let's sing. Listening to those singers before, did you feel that as well? Yeah, wow. I'm just so excited to hear the angels sing when we get to heaven, and that's what it sounded like just then. And we are going to sing Angels We Have Heard. Oh, no, we're not going to sing that. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Wow. Isn't God good? Hasn't he gifted this church so beautifully in the way that he encourages us as a congregation through those gifts? So let's continue to sing.
Time.
2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 to 21 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ." Our Father, we recognize there's so much in those two verses. We ask that you would give us a little bit of insight into them. Speak to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Alec and Gavin have gone into business together. They're good mates. They're in the building business. And so far, it's been working really well. Alec is more of the hands-on kind of guy. So he goes and oversees the building sites and oversees the houses that are being built and makes sure that the work is up to the standard that it is. Whereas Gavin is more of a behind-the-scenes accountant type. He looks after the finances and makes sure that the business is operating the way it ought to be operating and the funds are being invested where they need to be invested. That's his main role in this partnership. They get on really well together as family. Their wives get on with each other. They go to the same church. They participate in the worship of that church, just like we've seen with so many of our gifted musicians this evening. One of them is a singer. One of them plays the guitar. And they are also part of even leading that time when the church meet together. They meet up as families and they have time where they just spend enjoying each other's company. Business is going well. Things are traveling extremely well and the money has been coming in and the investments are wise. One day, Alec goes to Gavin and he says to him, "Look, there's a group of properties that I want to buy because we can develop this land and we can make a really large amount of money. I need $2.5 million. We've been putting the money away. I know it's there. Can you pass it on to me? Can you transfer it from this account into that account?" And there's a silence. The money's not there. And the reason the money is not there is because his partner has stolen it. He's stolen about $2.5 million. And he's used that money to fund his son's education. Alec is completely unaware. He's trusted him in that business partnership. It's worked on mutual trust. Now when the money is needed, it's gone. $2.5 million worth. Fritted away. So Gavin can send his son to America to study at a prestigious university. And the money is paid for whatever those fees have come to. Alec could take him to court, but he doesn't. He simply says to him, "I wish you had told me you needed the money. We would have gladly worked out some kind of arrangement." Gavin promises to pay back, but Alec knows he's never going to get the money back. He'll never see it again. His wife is far more upset than he is because that money is bound up with their future security. Her husband's getting older. It's going to be pension time soon. How are they going to survive beyond when he's on pension? Gavin promises to seek her forgiveness, but he never does. And so there is this unreconciled relationship between the two. I know the people involved. I've changed their names. They don't live in Australia. But it's a true story. And Alec forgives his partner. I don't know how he does it, but he does. But his wife can't. And she's waiting for this partner of his to come and sit down with her and say to her, "I'm sorry, please forgive me," but the partner just won't do it. And so there is this barrier between them. there is a much greater barrier between us and God. And so the Apostle Paul, when he writes and he says, I implore you, we make this appeal on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. The reason we have unreconciled relationships in this world is precisely because we are not reconciled with God, not properly. And when we look at the problems of this world and we look at ISIL and what's going on in the Middle East, and we wonder what kind of resolutions will be found and whether there will ever be lasting peace in this world. There are so many different wars happening in different countries all over the world, so much conflict between humanity, and then we just can't seem to get on with each other. And part of the problem is this estrangement we have from God. We are estranged from him precisely because we have rejected him. And so Paul writes and he says, be reconciled. There is a barrier between us and God, and the barrier is sin. Now I know that sin has become a bit of a kind of a laughing word, a bit of a sarcasm, you know, ha ha, so and so are living in sin, and we dismiss sin as irrelevant. Doesn't really impact us. But the reality is, for God, it's far more serious than just a word, a sarcastic word that we use when we talk about certain things, our sinful pleasures. For God, it's estrangement between us and him as we have turned our backs on him and we have chosen to go our own way. And so Paul writes and he says, we need to be reconciled to God. How do we be reconciled to our Creator? How does that happen? And Paul gives it to us in verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness in Christ. And there's so much pregnant meaning in those words. We don't have time tonight to really unpack them in their fullness. But in effect, what God is saying is that Christ has been sent. Yes, was born as a baby. Yes, we're celebrating his birth as a baby. But it's much, much more than that. Christ didn't come into this world simply so that we could celebrate his birth. Far more importantly, Christ came into this world and he states his purpose in order that he might die for sinners. Jesus knows that right at the start of his life. He knows right at the outset that he has come into this world in order that he might eventually go to the cross and he might eventually take upon himself our sin and he might eventually pay the penalty that you and I deserve. Can you imagine that? If you knew that the very purpose for which you are born is one day to become a sacrifice to give your life to people who hate you, how would you feel about that? How would you handle life knowing that that is why you are in this world? Jesus knows. He knows from the word go that he is going to go to that cross, that he is going to be strung up, that he is going to suffer, that he is going to experience the fullness of God's wrath against him on that cross. That he's going to take upon himself the sin of the world. John points him in John chapter 1 verse 29 and he sees Jesus walking towards him and he says, look, the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world. John knows. Jesus knows. The disciples are really confused. They're not sure. So that when Jesus says to the disciples, come, we must go to Jerusalem, Peter stands up and he rebukes him and says, no, we can't go there. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the purposes of God in mind. Peter doesn't know, but Jesus knows. He must go to that cross. Because if he is going to effect reconciliation with God, he has to become the bridge through which that reconciliation occurs. And so the Bible puts it so profoundly, yet so simply, God made him to be sin. There is so much in that phrase. We could spend a whole week on that. God made him to be sin. God made him to be what we are. Sinners. The sinless one. The one who has never sinned. God makes him to be sin. Christ becomes our sin. He takes upon himself everything that is wrong about us, everything that is ugly about us. And God in turn looks down on his son, and when he sees him taking upon himself our sin, he exercises his holy, just wrath against those sins in Christ on our behalf. And Jesus pays the price and cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the pain and the suffering in that cry? It's impossible. He who had no sin, he who was perfect, he who had never done anything wrong, now experiences for the first time in his being what it's like to be a sinner. Though he's not, he's perfect, sinless, so that you and I can be reconciled to God, so that you and I can be once again joined in relationship to God. And then Paul says, and this is very profound, and again I wish I had more time, but Paul then says, so that we become the righteousness of Christ. Now what Paul means by that is not simply that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to our account. God does do that. It's much, much deeper than that. God actually makes us new. God takes the old person, the old rotten, dirty sinner, and Jesus absorbs that and becomes that for us. And in its place, God makes us new. God makes us righteous. God cleanses us. God creates an entirely, completely new person in Christ. So that Christ will always be our sin, and Christ will always be our righteousness. You see, we can't do anything about our sin. We can't change what we are. We can't remake ourselves. We can't remodel ourselves. We can't change what we intrinsically are in the depths of our being. But God doesn't just fix up the problem by patching it up. But God creates an entirely new person. And that person is righteous in his sight. Because Christ transfers his righteousness to us while he takes our sin to himself. And so reconciliation occurs as we come to Christ and we confess our rebellion and we lay our sin at his feet, and Jesus says, I will give you in its place my righteousness. What an exchange. What an exchange. I who deserve to go to hell because I've rebelled against God. I've rejected him. I've said I don't need him. I'm happy to live life on my own terms, independently of him. We push him out to the peripheral of our society. And life becomes all about me and what I think is right and good and honoring. And all the while, Jesus is on that cross, stretching out his hand, saying, my child, come home. I've died that you might have life. I've died that you might find in me a completely new person, a cleansed person. Through the death of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God reaches out through Jesus to all who would come. And he says, I implore you, be reconciled. Are you reconciled to God? Have you been created a new person? Have you found in Christ a righteousness that is not your own? You can't be good enough. But there was one who was good enough. Have you come into a relationship with Jesus? Have you embraced
his death. If you haven't this evening, Jesus looks out and says, be reconciled. Will you come? Amen. Our Father, we stand amazed in your presence. How is it that Christ could die for us? So undeserving. Such rotten sinners. People who have rejected you. Don't want to have anything to do with you. And yet, you did not reject us, but instead demonstrated your love by this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that you have effected the path of reconciliation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you help us to be reconciled if we are not, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Would you join us as we sing our final song together?